Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
Hump.
I love BJ's fur circus. Steven Ricker's testicles.
He butted. No touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis. Vitellary Filippula. Filippuli. Filippalapala.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
That was totally wicked!
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And here we go. Like face off at center ice. Iceman Insight, starring your center and team captain, Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com, and myself, Norris Trophy winner for the past 7 years straight.
In his mind.
The Dirty D. Well, and in the mind of the voters. 96.9 FM.
Who are the voters? Your wife and daughter?
What? Well, no.
You'd be second out of one, right?
More than likely, yep. I'm sure we've talked all about that in the first hour, though, with the Team Hockey League, the ETHL, and Ivy in attendance last Sunday night because
Really? The
wife had to go out of town for the tax business meeting. So
you were on the ice?
Yep.
And Rebecca was not in the house?
And Ivy was in the stands.
Ivy was hanging out by herself in the stands?
Two periods, she just played her Nintendo DS. But then the third period, she said, Dad, you didn't look good at all.
So what you're saying is she's a good judge of talent.
Uh-huh. That's what I'm saying. But anyways, story time with Shocker.
Yeah, we're starting with something different this week. I just have to tell a little story. So last week, I mentioned that over the weekend, Sunday, was my son Evan's third birthday. And because we were having the party and it was his birthday, my parents came to town from Indy and they spent the whole weekend at our house. Three nights at our house, under our roof. And I feel like I should share one of the highlights of the weekend with everyone to kind of give you a little taste of what my mom is about.
A little insight into the Shocker family tree.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there's one branch that's not fully functional. So we're driving out on the west side. We had gotten lunch, and we're driving down St. Joe, and we pass the sign for Mesca Park Zoo. And my mom sees it and says, have you ever taken Evan there yet? We said, yeah, we took him earlier in the spring. It was one of those USI Day alumni could get in free or whatever. So we went to that, and he enjoyed it, and it was a lot of fun, and it was a pretty day, and blah, 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 blah. And I said, but his favorite thing was the jaguar in Amazonia. He loved the jaguar. He stood there and just watched it pace back and forth. And the jaguar looked at him and was licking his chops like, if this glass wasn't here, I'd eat this kid. But Evan enjoyed it. So I tell this story to my mom, and I pause because the story's over. And not 2 seconds later, my mom says, and I quote, was this at the zoo?
Well, you know, a zoo or the mall.
And I said, no, it was on West Franklin. There's a guy that has a jaguar in his backyard surrounded by a chain link fence. And she said, and I quote, seriously? And my dad just lost his marbles laughing at her. But that's my mom. So there you go.
Yeah.
Next time you're out on West Franklin,
yep,
make sure to stop by and see the jaguar.
Hey, I've seen that jaguar too after one or two
too many
fish bowls. Indeed, indeed. But regardless, since our last show, many, many fish bowls before.
Yeah. The Iceman played just one game over the weekend, and it was against the Indy Fuel, and it was a good one for the Iceman. Saturday night, the Iceman beat the Fuel 4-2 to improve to 2-0 on the season. Gave up a fluke goal on one of those seeing eye pucks in the first minute of the game. It was a defensive zone faceoff for the Iceman, and it looked like we drew it back clean, and it bounced off of a skate and a stick and a skate and who knows what else, and ended up in the net. 42 seconds in, the Fuel were up 1-0, and it remained 1-0 after 20 minutes, but then the Iceman righted the ship and got things going. Kevin Harvey and Danny Hobbs scored early in the second to give the Iceman a 2-1 lead. And Hobbs' goal was a beautiful pass through the slot from Jakub Sulek.
Exactly.
Were you there? Did you get to see
nope.
this? No.
Can't remember what I did.
Kind of schmuck are you?
Dude, they're playing two games against subpar opponents in October. There's other things. Oh, I was at Trunk or Treat.
Really?
Because I can't do Halloween for the first time in 45 years because I have to broadcast Castle Knight playoff football.
Oh,
because
it's on a Friday night.
So we have been scrambling to do all the Halloween stuff with Ivy.
Gotcha.
So, but yeah, once the schedule gets up and going, I'll be there all the time. But the first two against the Indy Fuel and Gwinnett, not too worried about it.
Gotcha. So, yeah, the Iceman took a 2-1 lead, and then the Fuel knotted it at 2-2 late in the second, and that was another kind of fluky goal. Zach Sternberg and Randy Kure, our two defensemen, tripped over each other in the corner, which resulted in Indy's Rhett Bly being wide open all alone in the slot, and he beat Cal Heater 1-on-1. So it was tied at 2, but Sternberg didn't just trip over people. He actually made a really nice play earlier in the second period. Heater was out of the net after coming out to play the puck, and Indy got the puck and had a wide open net to shoot at, and they shot at it, and it was going to go in, and Sternberg made a really nice play to keep it out. And that's one of those things that doesn't show up in the box score.
Nope.
Especially at this level, we don't even have block shots.
Or Corsi stats or yeah. Fenwick stats.
But, you know, in that kind of situation, you keep that puck out of the net, that's as good as scoring a goal at the other end because it's the same net difference. So, big
net difference.
Big good, yeah.
He writes his own stuff,
yeah.
folks.
So that was a nice play by Sternberg. And then that kept it at 2-2. And in the third period, Patrick Kennedy scored the game-winning goal just 38 seconds into the period. Made a nice move through the slot. Was denied, but then got his own rebound. And then later, he added an empty netter with 34 seconds left in the third period to ice it and give the Iceman the 4-2 victory.
Love that Patrick Kennedy.
He's
going to be a stud this year.
He's quite a player.
Yes, indeed.
He's good at hockey.
Yes, he is. Noteworthy.
A few noteworthy things from
remember
that.
Remember 2 years ago when you wanted to cut him from training camp?
No.
Yeah, I do.
The Fuel had a defenseman named Ildar Telyakov.
I like it.
Listed at 6'8", which would make him...
Is he
about...
cousin to Valtteri Filippulais?
Yeah. Yeah. He would be about 6'10 on skates, and I was actually walking back behind the locker room before the game and walked right past him, and now I know what it feels like to be an NHL forward standing in the crease with Zdeno Chara, because holy crap. I was like nipple height on this guy. It was crazy. Yeah, and he was actually pretty good. He moved pretty good for a guy that's that big. I wouldn't say that he's Zdeno Chara, but he's not a...
Well, even Zdeno Chara struggles with that lateral movement, yeah. And that's the way you attack these big guys.
Yeah, that's
of course,
just,
you have to start 25 feet out, because
yeah.
they got the long reach with the twig.
Right,
but,
yeah, they can
start,
reach hash mark to hash mark.
Once you start getting them going side to side, they usually struggle a little bit.
Yep. Another noteworthy thing from that game, in the first period, Kevin Harvey was called for goalie interference because he hit an Indy defenseman who subsequently ran into his own goalie, and that was not a popular call at the time, and a lot of folks were questioning how you could call it. I mean, Harvey didn't even touch the goalie, literally. He had not touched the goalie, but it is in the rule book that if you push a player into his own goalie, it is still goalie interference. So it was
rules.
Yeah.
Rule book.
Yeah.
They don't just make it up as they go along?
No.
Wow.
And believe it or not, I looked it up, and that's Rule 69.
That's hilarious.
Shouldn't that be something else?
I love it.
We're so mature here.
Indeed,
or as I like
indeed.
To say, mature. And the final noteworthy thing, the Icemen wore ESENS jerseys in honor of the Canadian soldier who was killed last Wednesday in Ottawa.
Horrible situation. Good classy move by the Icemen. Glad they had him in stock so they could pull it out.
Very much so. And yeah, they were planning on wearing them later in the season. Maybe
it's great
once or
jersey
twice,
too.
But it just happened that they had him in, so it was the perfect reason. Obviously a bad reason, but the perfect timing to debut them or debut them earlier than anticipated. And apparently they will wear them a few more times throughout the season, and then they'll be auctioned off later in the season. So, yeah, they're very much throwback heritage style jerseys. They're essentially the Ottawa Heritage Classic jerseys, but with an E on the front instead of an O. And yeah, they're very different. You don't see many jerseys with horizontal stripes.
Nice.
But they're very distinct, and I'm not a big fan of them on the hanger, but on the ice they look pretty cool.
They look awesome. I like them. So glad the Iceman did it. Iceman transactions, what everyone's been waiting for.
Yep. So first, before we get into the actual transactions, I want to say something. Injury information during this segment will be minimal this season. Kelly Wonder, my source at Orthopedic Associates, is no longer working for Orthopedic Associates.
Ah.
And the new Iceman regime is being very tight-lipped about injuries, which is their right. And if they don't want injury information out there, then that's their prerogative. So
we should have the speculation injury report.
There you
and
go.
Just totally make up everything.
Yeah, there you go. That's
a lot of broken peni.
That's good journalism.
Ryan Huff broke his coccyx tonight out at class.
Oh.
Yep, it was a horrendous crash in the corner.
Mm.
What do they call it when you're...
Wait, he actually has a coccyx?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
What do you call it? How does the police describe it when a drunk driver accident happens? A single vehicle accident or something that? Yeah, it was a single winger.
Single winger
single
accident.
Single player.
Took himself out in the corner?
Yep.
Gotcha.
But anyways...
Injury info will be minimal this season. You can speculate all you want, but I'm just going to try to stick to the facts. And it sounds like we're not going to have that many facts. So yeah, we won't be doing man games lost because
who needs facts? The Iceman Maniac Forum survives on the fact that
very
there
much
facts.
So
or a rule book.
Facts are totally optional.
Yes.
So to the transactions. Last week, the AHL's Albany Devils assigned us a rookie winger named Miles Bell. He played defenseman until 2 years ago. Played defenseman? That's terrible. He played defense until 2 years ago when his Western Hockey League team, that's Canadian Major Juniors, shifted him to forward because he was really good at scoring from defense. And his first season at forward, all he did was pile up 93 points and a plus 46 rating in 69 games.
Nice.
Yeah. And then his second season at forward, last season, he had 77 points and was plus 21 in 69 games. So clearly, the move to forward suited him well. The New Jersey Devils took him in the sixth round of the 2013 NHL draft. He finished juniors last spring and did not end up signing an NHL contract with the Devils, but Albany, obviously the Devils AHL affiliate, gave him an AHL contract a couple weeks ago on October 14th. And he came here because New Jersey and Albany are one of the few organizations that do not have an ECHL affiliate. So they didn't have anywhere by default to send him. So I guess they wanted him to get his feet wet somewhere in the ECHL, and he ended up coming here to do so. Made his pro debut on Saturday and wore number 16, which freaked me out for a second because I thought Dylan Clark came back. but wore number 16, played on that top line with Matt Lowry and Kale Kerbashian, taking the spot that Nathan Moon filled last week. And I thought he looked good. A little raw, definitely is going to take some time to, you know, get adjusted to the pro game, but clearly has some skill to work with, and you can't necessarily teach that. So once he kind of gets up to speed and adjusts to this game, it's going to be fun to watch him develop.
Yep, sounds good.
On Monday, the Icemen traded Antoine Corbin to the Brampton Beast for future considerations. I'll pause a moment so that you can weep.
Oh, well, yeah. He's an awesome dude, but closer to home, get to play in Brampton. Get to go back to Canada. I'm sure he'll be really happy about that. And if he gets an opportunity to play, obviously was 7th, 8th D-man here in Evansville. And all these guys want is an opportunity to play. So gets an opportunity to play on that blue line, then good for him. So I'm excited for him.
Cool. And apparently he was moved in order to open up room for another move, because on Tuesday, Nathan Moon, who, as we discussed last week, requested a trade. He had subsequently been placed on team suspension until they could work out a trade. And on Tuesday, he was dealt to the Colorado Eagles for defenseman Daniel Johnston. Johnston is a second-year player, last year as a rookie with Colorado. He had 29 points in 65 games.
Nice.
So he's got some offense to his game. However, the defense may need a little work. He was minus 28 on a team that also had defensemen who were plus 37 and plus 25.
Yeah, but I don't worry about that stat too much because they had that dynamic line that scored tons of goals that were in the running for best plus minus of the year. So if they got that same D pairing behind that top line,
of course then,
they're hooked up.
They're skewed.
Yeah. So not a big deal.
We'll see how he looks here, but clearly you have some raw talent to work with, kind of like Miles Bell when you you're a half point per game player from the blue line as a rookie. That's not too shabby. So
and back when we did our first show back in September, around training camp time before the season started, we both said our one concern was the blue line. Well, look at what this team has done in two weeks of the regular season. Lauren Barron released, Antoine Corbin traded away, and
brought in Zach Sternberg from Indy.
Yep. So obviously we were right on target there, and that both of us thought that was the one weak link, and boy, oh boy, this team could make a run here.
So what you're saying is Dwight Mullins listens to us.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, gotcha. Just clarifying. In other news on defense, Zach Curry made his season debut on Saturday. Did not play much, if at all. I honestly didn't even notice him on the ice one time. The Iceman had dressed seven defensemen and only nine forwards because Dirk Southern did not crack the lineup. I don't know if he's healthy or not. Would you like to speculate what's wrong with him? Come on, throw me out an injury. What's wrong with Dirk Southern?
He has a torn labrum.
Okay. Which labrum? There's labrums all over your body.
That's what I don't know. I don't get any more close. I think, is it in the shoulder or something?
There's one in the hip, too.
We're doing a whole new segment. We're doing...
Make up your injury report.
We're calling it the injury speculation report.
I like it. Curry did dress, but I don't know if he took a single shift. Mullins pretty much rolled the same 3D pairings he had rolled on opening night. And I'm sure Curry would have seen the ice if there were any penalties to the defense or if someone got hurt, but nobody got hurt, thankfully, and none of the defensemen ever took even a minor penalty, so he didn't really have the opportunity. So I'm sure he'll see some ice time at some point, and as we saw last year, he's a pretty solid third-pairing defenseman, if not more than that, depending on how he develops.
Yep.
And then just to wrap up the transaction report, Brandon Wong still on reserve. And
he's fighting through groin hip injuries that I do know.
And Peter Sakaris and Dana Frazier are still on the 21-day IR.
So anyways, anytime, 24/7, you can go to IcemanManiacs.com, click on over to the message board for the most updated roster and to see who is the next person that requests a trade out of town.
yeah, true. Maybe it'll be Ryan Huff.
And you never know. The Hoosier Hockey Championship belt.
Yeah. So I should have said this last week, but better late than never. I neglected to give credit where credit is due. The concept was my idea, but the getting it underway and actually having something visual to fight for took some help from Rick Llewellyn, Mr. Photoshop guy extraordinaire.
Indeed.
He actually designed, using my input, the Hoosier Hockey Championship title belt graphic that is online. I wanted something that was actually a tangible, visual thing, you know, that this is centered around. So we went and found an image of a WWE championship belt and changed some of the graphics around and added the state flag and the state seal and the outline of the state and stuff. So kudos to Mr. Llewellyn for helping me with that. To update the championship status, our game against Indy on Saturday was a non-title affair, so it had no effect on the title. And then the Comets, who were the champions after the first weekend, successfully defended the championship against the Fuel in Indy on Sunday. They won 4-0 to improve to 5-0, which is pretty impressive, but they have played 4 of their 5 games against expansion teams, so their schedule gets a little harder going forward. We'll find out in the next few weeks if the Comets are as good as their 5-0 record indicates or if they're, to some extent at least, paper Tigers. Time will tell.
Well, I think it's my hope is that you track this thing through the entire season and Evansville never has a shot at the belt. That it always is every time they go to play either Fort Wayne or Indy, they had just the two teams that played before and the belt had changed hands and the Icemen go all the way and win the ECHL championship with never
winning this.
Yes. That would be fantastic.
I think if short of that would be awesome, but short of that, it would be awesome if we never get a shot until like our last in-state game of the season, and then we win it then and hold it for all the whole summer. Both of our games this coming weekend against Indy will be non-title because the Comets still hold the belt.
Oh, and how cool. The next title defense.
Yeah, Thanksgiving at home in Fort Wayne against Indy. Which means our first title shot won't be until at least December 3rd. If Indy wins in Fort Wayne on Thanksgiving, then their next game in the series would be here, I think. It's either here or there, but either way,
no one cares.
Their next game is against the Icemen.
No one cares. We'll do like 7 shows before that even happens.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Calendars are hard.
Math is hard.
So, there you go.
So anyways, you can visit IcemanManiacs.com as well. Click on the championship belt graphic created by Rick Llewellyn and find game results, title reign info, and the HHC schedule. Boy, everything we do is just plug in the website.
You notice that, huh?
Yeah, bump up some advertising fees there. Shockers, hockey, rock, song of the week.
So, as I mentioned, Sunday was my son Evan's birthday, but he was not the only person close to us with a birthday over the weekend. Saturday was Booster Club Vice President Anita Ice's birthday. And for those who don't know, Anita is battling cancer, and she posted on Facebook that Tuesday was the midway point of her chemotherapy, which is quite a milestone for anyone who's gone through chemo or knows folks who've gone through chemo. You understand what that means, being over the mountaintop and finally on the way back down. So since she is now, quote, halfway there, she posted a link to this song on her Facebook page, and I thought, there's no better time than now to play this. This is a great tune I used to play at Swander, and it was always fun to listen to people sing along and get into it. So this is Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. We'll be right back.
Youth Inc. has been an outreach to inner city and area youth for over 20 years. Home of a coffee house, a vintage store, radio station, and music venue, Youth Inc. has run solely on the donations of supporters. Donation is easy, online, and secure. Visit our website, wiredwiredwired.com. Click to donate and join our Youth Inc. family of supporters.
Now, Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And Daddy.
So after 3 minutes of Michael Shockley listening to me impersonate the mouth harp from Living on a Prayer, we are back live in the studios, 111 Northwest 4th Street, below the Wired Coffee Shop, 96.9 FM, Wired Radio.
You know, that was too good for you to just keep here in the studio. I think you should share some of that.
Well, anyone's more than welcome to join me in the bath, where I do my best vocalization. Shocker, Dirty D, around the ECHL.
Few things of note from around the league. As mentioned before, the Fort Wayne Comets are 5-0 and the Icemen are 2-0. The only other undefeated team in the league is the Tulsa Oilers, who are winning with offense and not much defense. They beat the Allen Americans on Friday by a score of 9-6.
Yep.
What is that, 5 field goals?
Goalies, schmoleys.
Yeah. And then they beat Wichita 6-5 in overtime on Sunday. Worth noting for the Oilers, a couple of former Icemen. Adam Pleskatch has 4 goals and assist and is +3 in those 2 games. And Jake Obermeyer, is that where he plays?
That is obviously.
has a goal and assist and is +4 through 2 games. So pretty cool for them. Also, the Icemen and Cyclones are the only teams in the Eastern Conference who have played just 2 games, and Cincinnati got blitzed 8-2 at home on Saturday. They actually led 2-1 in that game in the first period, and then the Kalamazoo Wings scored 7 unanswered goals, and our old friend Rob Madore was left in for all of it. Gave up 8 goals on 27 shots, and you talk about a bad plus-minus line. There were 3 Cincinnati forwards, I presume, on the same line, who each went -5.
Wow.
Don't see that very often.
No, handful of dashes.
Yeah, that's not something you want on your resume.
And obviously, Rob Dory quit on the team, and he doesn't like being in Cincinnati, and
right,
blah, blah,
course.
Blah, because that's what you say when a goalie gets shelled.
Yep, it's all his fault.
I'm interested to know what's better, to have few games in the beginning, just play like the Icemen did, play a Friday night, have a week off, play a Saturday, have a week off, adjust your roster, make changes, or if you want to jump right in for play 5, 6, 7 games as quickly as possible, kind of like the Indy Fuel, because you all have to play the 72 games by the same point at the end of the season.
Right.
And that drag last year, when we had all those injuries, when we were playing 3 and 4 times a week, it sunk the club. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if – but then, of course, you got to talk about box office as well, and you've got high school football, which is huge around here.
Right.
And NFL Sundays is really big right now. So if you take a lump at the box office,
yeah,
if you start playing some Friday and Saturday nights in Indiana in football territory.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what the proper answer is on that.
Well,
one.
We saw that with Indy. They drew standing room only for their opening game against the Comets. And then the next week, they had a Wednesday night game that didn't draw well. And they had a Friday night game up against high school football that didn't draw well. And then they played Sunday at the same time as the Colts game.
Yeah.
And they had that great opening night. And then all that momentum at the box office was lost because of the way the schedule worked out. So, yeah, there's a lot to consider. You certainly, in theory, the on-ice is more important, but at the same time, without the off-ice going well, there is no on-ice.
Yeah.
So it's a tough balance, and it is, I think it just depends based on the situation, how much turnover has your roster had. There's no definite formula, I think, that works for everyone. It's just depending on the team and what their given situation is. Obviously, the light start is working out so far for the Icemen, but you don't know. Yeah, if you get hit with injuries and then you've got 4 games and 5 nights later in the season when you're 3 men short, that's going to hurt. You would have rather had a couple of those games early in the season when you had a healthy roster. So who knows? We'll see. I guess you can't really – you can just guess right now. At the end of the season, you can look back and say, yeah, it worked out or it didn't.
Yep. Exactly. Go ahead.
Before coming to Evansville on Saturday, the aforementioned Fuel did get their first ever win on Friday in that home game against the Missouri Mavericks, which is where Scott Hillman, Indy's coach, spent the past five seasons, so he was extra happy to do that, I'm sure.
Yep.
That game was actually tied 1-1 after two periods, and then finally the Fuel finished strong in a game rather than starting strong and scored four goals in the third period to win 5-1, so... There's the answer to your trivia question. The first victory in Indy Fuel history was against the Missouri Mavericks.
Nice. First goal in the ETHL ever was mine. Bingo!
G69.
Exactly.
Wait, no. O69.
Oh.
So last week we checked in on our NHL affiliates, the Ottawa Senators. As a Leafs fan, aren't you supposed to interject something after that?
I wasn't paying attention one bit to Ottawa.
What else is new? So now it's time to see how things are going for the Binghamton Senators, our AHL affiliates. After seven games, they are 2-3-2, and six of those seven games decided by one goal. That's a lot of close hockey.
We should call this segment "Oh Crap and BS."
Oh, the letter crap.
Yep.
For Ottawa crap.
Yep.
And BS for Binghamton Senators.
You got it. Oh, crap, BS.
What would Andy Fuller think of that?
It would just be a lot better than our intro that has since been modified, censored.
Yeah.
So anyways, after seven games, they're 2-3-2.
Yep. And their leading scorer is actually defenseman, St. Louis native Chris Weidman leads the team with 8 points. Generally not a good thing if your defenseman is leading your scoring.
Yeah. Like Barry Trotz's
Shea Weber and Predators last Predators. Year. Yep. Sick. By the way, how much fun are they to watch?
Oh, it's a fan. Man, night and day. Obviously, I mentioned it last week, Chad Burley and I, with the running all season long kind of bet. I am anti-Barry Trotz. I am anti-Washington Capitals. He is pro-Barry Trotz. We're waiting to see how it all plays out. I watched, they went 1-2 on this recent West Coast trip. I don't think that proves anything. That's tough to be an East Coast team and do Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver. That's a long time on the road, and that's a tough trip. But they should have beat Edmonton. They look pretty good. A couple of shots hit the post, and Edmonton got a couple of power play goals. So we will keep up with that, see what Barry Trotz does with that team. But, I love watching the Preds.
Yeah, they lost to Pittsburgh over the weekend. But before that, they were the – if you would have told me or – told Vegas that the Nashville Predators would have been the last team in the NHL without a regulation loss, you would have won a lot of money.
Yes, exactly. The Johnny Kells segment, or Johnny Kells inspired segment, skating down memory lane, heading over to Johnny Kells' house on Thursday for the haunted apartment and watch a little Charlie Brown, Great Pumpkin.
Really?
Yep.
That's a classic.
Yep, myself, Johnny Kells, and Ivy Johnny just loves Halloween and totally decorates his apartment. It's awesome. So you can check it out on Facebook.
So is it more horrifying for Halloween or just like on a random Tuesday going over to Johnny Kells?
That would be sweet if like he kept it up all year long. Yeah. That's what I would do if I was a single man.
Go out and bring some lady home and she walks in and it's this house of horrors in February.
She asks where the bathroom is and send her down the hall of mirrors. She doesn't know which way to turn.
There you go.
Sweet.
All right, so the Skate Down Memory Lane this week is inspired by a post that was on the Asylum last week. A gentleman by the name of Stephen Galbraith, I guess. I don't know the gentleman. I've never seen the name on the Asylum before, so I assume he's a relatively new fan to the Iceman. He posted on the Asylum last week saying that his five-year-old was surprised that there aren't any, quote, girl Icemen. She asked him why there aren't any girl hockey players, so he asked the Asylum if there are any now and if there have been any in the past.
First, there are tons, thousands of girl hockey players scattered all over America and Canada and the rest of the world.
Yes, especially at the youth levels these days. It's booming how many girls are playing hockey now. And there was a nice discussion on the Asylum, informing him of some of the women who have played with the men professionally. And then there was also a discussion about getting into hockey. If you have a girl who wants to get into hockey, she can.
Yep.
Because even here locally, EYHA is co-ed. So if you have a daughter who wants to get into hockey, just because there isn't a girls-only league doesn't mean she can't play. So It led to a nice discussion, but I thought it would also lead to a nice skate down memory lane this week as we look back at one of the most glorious moments in Iceman history. The date was Valentine's Day 2009 during our first season back in the AHA.
Steven Rickard went to the game with his Valentine date, Kara Hurley.
Yes. the Iceman beat the Chicago Blaze 24-4. The Blaze had just 9 skaters and 2 goalies in that game. It was 21-3 after 2 periods. The Iceman outshot them 85-30. And as you might imagine, there were some records set in that game. 24 goals is by far still the most scored in a game in Iceman franchise history, and 20 is by far the largest margin of victory in franchise history.
Will never be broken.
No. During that game, the Iceman scored back-to-back goals in 10 seconds or less 4 different times. They scored 3 goals in a 30-second span, 4 goals in a buck 24. And it goes all the way up to, at one point, they scored 8 goals in a span of just 6 minutes and 36 seconds. So it was quite a game, to say the least. Brothers Earl and Ed Hudick each had 6 goals and 7 assists. And the 6 goals in a game, 7 assists in a game, and 13 points in a game are still franchise single-game records. Again, that will never be broken. Emery Lovesy, Lausch, however he pronounced it.
He told me Lovesy.
Yeah, he told Rickard Lausch, and Rickard pronounced it both of those ways and then some. He had the second and final Gordie Howe hat trick of that first season, and it was a doozy, too. He had a goal, 5 assists, and a fight. Matt Wagner started the game in net before giving way to the aforementioned Kira Hurley at the start of the second period when it was already out of hand. She gave up 3 goals on 24 shots faced in 40 minutes of action. And on our 23rd goal, she notched an assist, which was and has been verified as the first ever assist by a female goalie in a men's professional hockey game. The Hockey Hall of Fame honored her because of it. And it was actually, little known fact, the first assist by any goalie in Iceman history and the only assist by an Iceman goalie during the inaugural season. And when I was putting this together, I was looking at her bio online on Wikipedia or HockeyDB or wherever, just bouncing around looking at Kira Hurley references, not pictures, that's what Rickard does, and found out that, oddly enough, 2 years after she played for the Iceman, she actually spent some time in Binghamton, of all places, with the Federal Hockey League's now defunct Broome County Barons. So,
yeah, she bounced kinda around the FHL for a while.
Yeah, she played for Danbury and a couple other teams in the FHL, and I think last I heard she was playing with like semi-pro up in Canada, and she's doing like goalie, like teaching goalies, young kids how to play goalie. So giving classes and seminars and stuff. So that's pretty cool.
Upcoming games.
2 games this weekend, plus 1 next week before our next show.
Oh, and their next show is going to be a doozy.
Yes, it is. Friday, this Friday night, Halloween, up in Indy. The Icemen hit the road for the first time this season and celebrate Halloween with the Fuel. And then they turn around the next day, and it's the back half of a home-and-home here on Saturday the 1st. Puck drops at 7:15, and the second half of a home-and-home is always fun because there's always blood
anger.
And anger and, yeah, nonsense. So that will be good. The first 5,000 fans through the doors will get a foam beard as the Icemen launched No Shave November. But the main event, beyond the game, beyond the blood of a back half of a home-and-home, beyond the foam beards, is that during the intermission, it will be the return of the Fur Circus.
Guess I know what I'm doing Saturday night. Taking Ivy to a hockey game.
There you go. And then next Wednesday, the Icemen host the Elmira Jackals as Coach Mullins gets to face his former team for the first time at 9:30 a.m. It is the annual Education Day game, which means get your earplugs ready.
Yes, indeed. We will be there in person, and then Ivy the Spivey will be joining us on the radio live at noon.
Amusement park.
Myself, Bill Nadeau, and Ivy Spivey.
So when you leave the game, or if you're not at the game, tune in and listen, and you'll get to hear some very interesting radio.
Her plan originally was to speak only in kitty. So she was going to meow for 60 minutes.
It'd probably be better than what we usually do.
It's going to be a fantastic radio show.
Nice.
I'm excited about it. The Dangling Tangent.
So since Friday is Halloween.
So that's what's left with of Ryan Huff's cock kicks.
Since Friday is Halloween, this is a simple one. What's your favorite candy?
Ah, my favorite candy. I don't know if I have a favorite candy, but chocolate. I like actually Hershey's Special Dark.
Really?
I love dark chocolate.
You like the dark chocolate.
Yep. So that's it, but I'll eat all of it. The one thing I hate, absolutely hate, cannot stand, candy corn.
I'm with you there.
I just don't like disgusting. That stuff either. To me, it looks like if like you use a Q-tip and you get your earwax out of your ear and then they like cut
ball it all
yeah,
off.
And then they cut off the tip of it and they sell it as candy corn. I just it's just disgusting. And my wife loves it. My daughter loves it. My wife has made candy corn pancakes before.
Ooh.
Yeah, disgusting. So, but yeah, that's my thought on
I'm
that.
I'm totally with you on that. I'm not a big chocolate guy. I will eat chocolate in small doses, but I've just never been a big fan of chocolate. So I like the stuff that is either light on chocolate or doesn't have any. Like I like Reese's Cups, but I really like Reese's Pieces because they're all peanut butter.
Yeah.
And sweet.
What about like Skittles and licorice?
I'm not a big fan of fruit stuff like that.
That makes no sense at all. No, it's just the fact that you don't like chocolate and you don't like fruity candy.
I'm weird, man. I don't like. There's a lot of stuff that people like that I don't like. Pickles. I don't like strawberries. I don't like chocolate. I'm weird.
So
I don't like ketchup.
Special dark chocolate and licorice. I really like Twizzlers.
Really?
Yep.
No, what do you prefer, the strawberry or the cherry?
I can't do the cherry.
Really?
No. And I can't do black at all either. Black licorice.
So you like dark chocolate, but you don't like black.
I don't like black licorice.
Gotcha.
That's that whole. What do they call that stuff in there? Asinine? Anise? Whatever. Something like that. Final thoughts.
Our next show is next Wednesday. As mentioned, the amusement park will be live after the Education Day game. And then Insights will be recorded Tuesday night before the game because...
Disappointing.
I have a prior engagement with my wife. Of that what you will.
That is no excuse.
We are both taking the day off. We're going to the Education Day game, and then we are going to go to a movie and whatever else happens.
Boom, chicka, wow, wow.
Yeah, buddy. Whatever happens.
Wow, wow. Hold on. Here comes the mouth harp. Wow, 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 wow.
Good stuff.
There you go. You have to come into my bathroom to hear that.
Yeah. So, yeah, whatever happens after the game, until it's time to go pick up the kid from daycare,
You'll update us on the following week, and we'll make sure that you're not on the injury report.
Yeah, broken penis. Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to record Insights on Tuesday night, and during the show next week, we're going to throw out random predictions about what will happen in the Wednesday Education Day game. And then the following week, we'll see just how ridiculously wrong we probably were.
I like it. There we go.
So
we've
there you
got
go.
A plan.
That's the plan.
He is Michael Shockley, the senior writer, the webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com. All of your information all season long. Can't get it in the Courier Press. Can't trust TV. They tell you that Nathan Moon got traded to the Colorado Avalanche. But that's okay. You want to know what's going on about your Evansville Iceman, please don't go to the asylum. No facts there. You want to go to IcemanManiacs.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, IcemanManiacs.com.
Can you plug the site one more time?
Sweet goodness, no, I can't.
I don't think there's been enough in this
I just
show.
Made like 7 cents.
All right. We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.